We come before you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask that you teach us and you help us to learn of you in the name of Jesus. Father, what only you can teach is what we want to learn. Lord, make the word simple for us enough that we can understand and be transformed in our minds in the name of Jesus. Thank you for answering our prayer. Speak through me, speak to the people, and let our lives be transformed better than we came in. For in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. For the past 3 weeks, we've been discussing. You might wonder what IYC2RC is here. I'll just give us a minute. It's increasing your capacity to receive. We've been teaching on how do we increase our capacity to receive. What do we need to do to become bigger to receive from God? A bucket can only receive as much as the size. If you want the bucket to receive more, it's either you have more buckets to it or you increase the size of the bucket. For example, I'll give us an example. If you buy a house in one bedroom and you just say no, it's okay for you. You can live in it. When you get married, you can manage. It's still in one bedroom. But the moment you give birth to a child, what happens? You need to increase your capacity to what? To accommodate that blessing of God. I don't know if it makes sense. So it's about increasing. So you need to be thinking, in one bedroom is not okay for me. I need to move on to the next level. I need to increase my capacity to accommodate a newborn baby. So you go to a two-bed. If you need to have a boy and a girl, or two girls and one boy, you feel that one more room is not, so I need to go to a three-bed. So you need to increase your capacity to receive. Staying at the same level of capacity is not enough. Remaining small makes you receive small. Growing big, increasing your capacity bigger, helps you to receive more. So we've been looking at that increasing your capacity to receive. So it's a series. I prefer to teach in a series way, in a way that we move from one level to another, so that we understand. And today, if you're wondering, why would we be talking about the superhero in church? But it's the way God deals with me that I feel that I can also bring and let the people understand. We've talked about increasing your capacity to receive by thanksgiving. We've also talked about increasing your capacity to receive by the way you pray. But today we want to look at increasing your capacity to receive, but in my superhero costume. I'm sure many of us, when we were growing up, the young ones will know this. But at least we will still know some of those superheroes. The ones that I grew up with, Superman, we know him very well, Spider-Man. But I know the young ones have loads today. And there's one movie that people love so much. It was called The Wakanda. I can't remember the title. What's the movie? There was a movie that people
Black Panther.
Black Panther, thank you very much. You see, it's a superhero movie also. I'm not very good. But what I know is that every of those superheroes, they were dwelling in their own physical ability. But when they want to operate in a new level, in that next capacity, what do? They put on the costume that will help them to be able to activate the next level of power. Superman will go to office, the one I watched, the late one, he goes to office in super time. But the moment he wants to receive power to do something more, what does he do? He rips up and he changes into a better costume. And I'm sure today many of us attend what they call costume parties. Why do our kids go to a place where they say, come in your costume, in your superhero costume? It's because wearing that costume gives you that aura, that environmental power that, I am living in the world of my superhero. I'm sure many of us feel like I can't be caught dead in wearing those costumes. But our children love to wear the Spider-Man costume, the Catwoman costume, the Superman, because it gives them that mindset that I can actually behave like a superhero. And one thing I know superhero, no matter the punishment he receives from the villain. The Sandman can beat the Spider-Man, can destroy the suit of Spider-Man. But one thing is this, the superhero always comes out better at the end. And you always want to watch, how would Spider-Man defeat the villain? So today I want us to look at, how is it that prayer, the power behind the man, changes us from our physical level to now? You see, people say prayer changes situations. I believe that. You can pray about a situation and it's solved. But do you know that prayer itself changes a man's life? Let's be careful here now so that you understand. Prayer changes situations. But prayer also changes a man's life. Now, I'm not talking about the situation now. I'm talking about you as a person. You as an individual. You are changed by the level of prayer you pray. The moment you pray, something changes inside you. And that's what we want to do. So, how a superhero needs strength beyond his physical level to operate is the same way a man needs strength to operate beyond the physical. I don't know if I'm making sense to us. So, being in that costume today, we are looking at, I want to be like a superhero, but I need a costume. Yes, I can get the costume, but I need the power behind the costume. You can wear the costume, but you can't fly like Superman. You can wear the costume, but you can't fly like Spider-Man. You can wear the Black Panther costume, but you can't act like a Black Panther. But there is a power behind every costume that those superheroes wear, and that's what we want to discuss. What is the power? The power of prayer. How does it empower a man and changes a man? Let's look at a story in the Bible, the book of Daniel chapter 6. There's a Bible at the back. Daniel chapter 6. So Daniel chapter 6. I would like to read, and then I want us to just go with the eye. I want us to go with the eye of a superhero now. Don't go with the physical eye of I know the story of Daniel. Let's go with the eye of a superhero this morning. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. So this is the principle of delegation. The king felt I'm too busy. I need to delegate my affairs to governors. So the satraps, they are just governors. So the king gave people authority, 120 governors, authority over his kingdom. Verse 2. With three administrators, now watch this. The king gave 120 governors authority. But above the governors, he has given three administrators. So that means he gave each administrator 40 governors to manage. So like a special advisor, like a deputy. So the king gave three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Verse 3. Now Daniel, so distinguished himself, Daniel became a superhero. I want us to understand. Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, Daniel had the spirit of excellence. Daniel had the spirit of better. Daniel had the spirit of next level. Daniel became a superhero. And the king said, you are doing so wonderful. I want you to be over the whole kingdom. Fast forward, let's continue. And at least the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds to charge against Daniel. Are you going through anything at the moment that you feel people are conspiring against you? I think when you are jumping around, I just want to just quickly pray with us here. Do we feel as if there's a gang of allegiance in the realm of the spirit? People did the same to Daniel, who was a superhero in the land. But I pray for us today. Any gang up against us as well, any gang up against us from any zone or any quarters, by the power of the living God, we are free indeed in Jesus' name. Now, Daniel, they tried to bring charges against Daniel because he was doing well, because he was better. Look, the glory of God on your life does not mean that you will not find people that will fight you.
The glory of God attracts
bad people. The glory of God attracts bad belly. Let's put it that way. So don't say that I don't want trouble. I want peace. You see, the definition of peace to me is the fact that you are calm in the midst of turbulence. It's not that there is no turbulence. Who said that there is no turbulence? There will be rage, there will be storm. But the Bible made us understand that it is calmness for you in the midst of turbulence. So people conspired against Daniel. But they were, look at this, but they were unable to do so. They tried to look for case against him, but they can't find him. So they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt or negligent. What wonderful character! What wonderful character! He was trustworthy and not corrupt and not negligent. Let's continue. I want you to understand. Being in that level, being in that costume. Finally, this man said, look at what they said. We will never find any basis for a charge against this man, Daniel, unless it has to do with the law of his God. The only way we can implicate him is except we use his God to come against him. The law of the land says, don't preach the gospel. And you have locked your door and said, hey, it's a way for you not to talk by a Christian. We need to come up with that also. Are we too comfortable to even talk about Jesus? Are we too comfortable to say, I love Jesus? People ask me at work on Mondays and say, how was your weekend? Wonderful, I was in church on Sunday. You can't arrest me for that. They knew that the only way they could arrest him was to do what? Was to use the law of his God against him. Let's continue. Verse 6. So the administrators, don't forget there were three administrators. Now, the two other administrators and the 120 governors, servants means governor in the Greek world, so went as a group to the king. They went to the president, to the prime minister, and said, O King Darius, live forever. Let's continue. Verse 7. The other administrators, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, and the servants and the governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict or a law that enforces the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Let's continue. Now, king, issue a decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance to the law of the land, which cannot be repealed. It can't be changed. If you say, O king, and you stamp it, it's there. No, let's continue now. Verse 9. So King Darius took the decree in writing. Verse 10. Now, when Daniel knelt, now this is crucial. Daniel knew. If I was the king, I would have said, why are you coming to me? Where is Daniel? I'm surprised the king didn't ask him, where is Daniel when he went to meet him. But the king just said, well, it's about me. I'll sign the law. But now, Daniel learned about this law or this decree. Look at what Daniel did. He went to his upstairs room where the windows were opened towards Jerusalem. Now look at what it says. Three times a day, he got down on his knees. Now this is not about Daniel praying to show off. This is about Daniel does it regularly. In other versions of the Bible, it says, as he does usually. It means prayer was a lifestyle to Daniel. It means Daniel knew that a superhero power can only come from prayer. You see, Daniel knew that he could wear the costume, but beyond the costume is the power of prayer. And he did it consistently. Now, let me just quickly say that, you see, God answers all prayers. When you say, no, he doesn't answer all prayers. God answers all prayers. Now, the way he answers this might not be the way you are expecting him to answer. Now, let's be careful there, because I will show us very soon that God answers all prayers, but the way we expect him to answer It's not the way he answers at times. But every prayer we pray, the Bible says it, that we are not even praying enough. He said, pray, and I will give you the answers. Pray in faith. So every prayer, God answers. Now let's continue. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. It wasn't new. It's something he has done. Now let's continue. Then this man went. They're seeing. The people went. Now, the people went to Daniel. What did they do? They found him praying. They found him praying and asking God for help. Verse 12. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 90 days, anyone who prays to any god except to you, O king, will be thrown into the lion's den? And the king answered, yes, that is true. Let's continue, verse 13. So the king said, yes, I know I did that. So the king is now saying, what happened? And I said, Daniel has prayed. And he actually prays three times a day. Verse 14. I want us to move faster. That's why. Verse 14. When the king heard this, the king was distressed. The king now said, I will find a solution to it. But the king could not find it. Verse 14. While the king was thinking about it, that I will find a solution, the people went back to him and said, king, we are waiting for the results. Can we take Daniel? That's what verse 14 says. Verse 15. The man went back to the king and said, king, we are waiting for you now. And that the king had issues because he can, the law can't be changed. Verse 16. So the king gave the order, I can't change the law. The king now said, bring Daniel and throw him into the lion's den. Now, there is no man that will grab. There is no man that will be grabbed to go to the lion's den and I won't pray to his God. I'm sure Daniel was crying to God, Lord, save me. Lord, save me from the lion's den. But did God save him? Did God save him from being thrown into the lion's den? God didn't save Daniel from being thrown into the lion's den. So definitely we pray. But God might not answer the way we are praying. Now let's continue now, show us. So the king said, throw him. Now they threw Daniel in. And a stone was put across the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own ring and the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation, listen, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Any situation that man has put us in, any place that man thinks that cannot change, that they have put us in a bad place, that they have planned evil against us, that there is nothing that can change it, by the power of the living God, that situation is changed in Jesus' name. Any painful situation that we might be going through, that men are laughing at us, that it cannot change. Anything that we are undergoing at the moment, that men think that that is the end of it for us, by the power of the living God, change is coming for to it from heaven in Jesus' name. Let's continue. So they decided to say, we'll lock you in. Then the king returned to his palace, spent the night without eating and without drinking. The king was fasting. Some other versions say the king was fasting. The king could not sleep. Verse 19. The first thing in the morning, the king got up and went straight to the lion's den. Don't forget, God did not save Daniel from the lion's den. God allowed them to throw Daniel into the lion's den. God has allowed you to pass through something. God is allowing you to pass through something to teach you so that you can help somebody else. God might have allowed you to pass through a particular issue in your life now. Not because he wants you to suffer, but because he wants you to learn from it. So that's when somebody else is going through it. You see, in my life, I know this for sure, that there is nothing I go through that is not a lesson from God, so that I can be able to teach other people. People keep asking this question, why me? Then I would have asked the same thing. Oh God, why me in the lion's den? If not you, who else? But can you just tell God, and Lord, let this situation that I'm going through be a lesson to others so that they can come to you? You see, Daniel was in the lion's den. The king could not sleep. The king rushed to the lion's den. Verse 20. What did the king say? When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, as your God, whom you serve continually, be able to rescue you from the lion's den. The king is asking, I know you have prayed, we have thrown in me, but if God saved you from the lion's den. Verse 21. Daniel answered, Okay, live forever. 22. Okay, live forever. My God sends his angels and he shuts the mouth of the lion. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in your sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, O King. Every day of trial, every day of pain that we are in, as Daniel said, he sent his angels. The Bible says that the angels of God are ministry spirits. I pray that God will send his angels to always cover us from every evil in the name of Jesus. Look at, he said he has sent his angels to shut the mouth of the lion. Now, two things there. Daniel would have prayed that God save me from the lion's den. But God did not save him from being thrown in. He was thrown into the worst place on earth to be. But God did not allow the lions to tear him. You might be driving through some oceans now. I mean real trouble now. You might be going through some kind of, it's not worth it. Why am I going through this? Is it worth me going through the suffering? God is telling me that it is for you to be able to glorify me. That people will also glorify me. That God became a superhero. Not by his own power, but by the power of God. Through the prayers he had prayed. Prayer changed him to be able to walk, to be able to stand confidently even in the lion's den. To be able to walk out of God even in the lion's den. Now let's continue. God saved him in verse 23. The king was overjoyed and gave the order to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him. Because what? He trusted God. Verse 24. And the king commanded, all the men that falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the den, along with their wives and their children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Look at it. God replaced Daniel. I'm sure there was only one man. Maybe there were five lions. One man, five lions. But now, look at it. There were five lions, but God gave them enough food. God used not even only one man, but he gave them even their wives and their children. The people that planned for Daniel were the ones that were replaced in the lion's den. They were put there. Daniel became the hero. Now what did the king say? Let's continue, verse 25. Then King Darius now wrote a decree. The people, the nations, to all people, the nations and the men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. Let's continue, verse 26. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will reign forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Now, what did Daniel use? Daniel was a prayer warrior. How then is prayer the power behind the superhuman? You see, the moment you think that the power the power is in you, the moment you think that I have the power myself, you shut down God and you shut down yourself. If Daniel had trusted in his own efforts, definitely Daniel would have been shut down. But Daniel trusted in the power of God. Prayer that he has been praying was enough for him to scale through that problem. Prayer changes a man. How does prayer change a man? I want to just quickly go through the word change. The C in change for me there is confidence. Prayer, the moment you spend time with God in prayer, you see that you have this new level of confidence in God. We can't be approaching the presence of God as if we are afraid. We cannot go to the presence of God as if we have no what, as if we don't know the God we serve. If we open our Bible to the book of James chapter 4 verse 8, it says, if we draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you. If you clean your life, he will keep your heart, and you will stop doubting. How much time have we spending praying the problem, going to God with doubt, and not with confidence? If your daughter or your son or my children come to me and say, Daddy, I need this. The confidence in them is enough for me to say, possibly they need this. But if you see a head that is cowering, afraid, you begin to wonder, are you okay? Is everything alright?